Welcome to the Unfolding Podcast, a space where we explore what it looks like to really trust yourself, say no without guilt, and live your life like it actually belongs to you. I am Erica Voll, a decision mentor and inner trust guide, and I help women in midlife untangle the life patterns of shape-shifting and keeping everyone else happy, claim how they are uniquely designed to make decisions, and understand their unique strengths. Using human design as a lens, we clear the noise of conditioning so their no feels powerful and their yes feels true, and they can move forward without self-doubt, guilt, and pressure to prove anything. On this show, we have honest conversations about self-trust, boundaries, energy, and identity, especially for women in midlife who are done living by the shoulds and second-guessing themselves. If you have taken every personality test, followed the recommended path, and still can't shake that feeling that you've been spending your whole life trying to fit in, when all you really wanted was to belong, you are in the right place. You will hear stories, insights, and tools rooted in human design, coaching, and real life, not to tell you what to do, like another self-help book, but to really hear yourself so that you can stop overthinking and start making decisions that feel grounded, clear, and true. Today's conversation just blew me away, and I know it's one that you are really going to enjoy. I love all of the conversations I've been having with these amazing women. Today's guest is Dr. Charlotte Webb. She is a legacy mentor helping women rewrite power and prosperity through a blend of spirit and strategy. Formerly a tech equality activist with a PhD in internet art, she co-founded Feminist Internet and created the UK's first master's in internet equality. After leaving academia to heal burnout, she now works with crystal healing, energy work, mentoring, and human design. Charlotte and I met through Julie Ciardi's Ignite program, and you'll hear us reference Julie a few times in the interview. What I find so fascinating about Charlotte is that how she has taken human design, her work with crystal healing, and has so beautifully intertwined it into her work with her clients. She talks a lot about voice, which is so fascinating. Charlotte is also one of the women who was featured in my Midlife Women and Their Voices article series on Substack back in April, and I will link to both of the articles in the show notes. So let's get to this week's episode. Welcome, Charlotte, to the Unfolding Podcast. I'm so glad to welcome you.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
So you have one of the most interesting origin stories that I've read in a long time. You have a PhD in internet art. You are the co-founder of the Feminist Internet, and you created the UK's first master's in internet equality. That's like a whole career in itself. So tell us about that chapter and what were you trying to do in the world at that time? And then tell us about yourself.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was an absolutely wild ride. Feminist Internet was a very creative project that was totally unintentional. I had been working at the University of the Arts London, and I was actually in a coffee shop with an amazing woman who led the widening participation kind of wing of the university. And we were talking about just increasingly noticing inequality in the tech sector. And I'd been seeing that more and more because of what I was studying for my doctorate. And she invited me to put in a proposal to help students think about technology from a gender equality perspective. And I did that. We ran a 10-day experience. And basically, the people that came to that 10-day experience didn't really want it to end. And I didn't want it to end. So we ended up on about a 7-year journey traveling the world, teaching young people how to think about technology from a gender equality perspective. And I never intended for that to be my life or my career, but that's what happened. And I'm so, so proud of that chapter. And it's also funny how extremely different my life is now and the work that I'm doing, which seems so different on the outside. But then I'm realizing that the through line is that kind of movement building, you know, setting out a manifesto, setting out an intention to really do things differently. And all the things we talk about in our world about the new era and new forms of leadership and challenging old paradigms and systems, they are still there, just in a very different costume this time around.
So tell us what you do now that's so different.
Yeah, so I had a classic sort of like burnout story at the end of that chapter of working at in academia and all of the stuff around tech. And I actually retrained as a crystal healing therapist, which was such a strange choice after I'd done all of that. There's a lot of alchemy to do around, I actually went into ghost mode for like 2-ish years, partly because of the burnout and partly because I was doing something so different. I couldn't really reconcile my identity with my existing kind of community. So I just hid for a while. But that crystal healing training, it took me about 1.5 years, and it was such a deep dive into my own soul, into my own healing journey, into my own capabilities, because everything that I'd learned myself to be good at was logical, academic, structured, strategic. And I found myself channeling energy through crystals. I mean, I have them all around me all the time. Channeling energy, and people were having these experiences with it. And there was something in me that just felt like I had come home. Really, I mean, really come home, and that I was having a totally different level of impact, very intimate, one-to-one, profound in a completely different way. And it really changed actually pretty much everything about who I saw myself to be, how I saw the world, what I understood health to be, what I understood people to be, what I understood God, spirit, source, divine consciousness to be. And ever since then, I've been finding my way towards helping other people to kind of come into a deeper contact with that side of themselves, to understand themselves as this spiritual being having a human experience and moving through their life's purpose and their work, according to that paradigm, which is so liberating.
So tell us about your work today. I know you're working
Yes.
with leaders and human
Yeah.
design. So tell us about that.
Yes. So I am now my latest thinking on this, Erica, is spiritual concierge. I love this term, spiritual concierge. So yeah, I'm working with people who typically are creating their own legacy work, creating their own business. They are spiritually oriented, but they want to get themselves out there in a more aligned way. They want to express themselves more fully. They really want their marketing, their messaging to be landing more clearly. They want to be attracting more aligned clients, or they want to bring that spiritual dimension into an existing role or into their life in a way that they haven't really been able to kind of grasp onto at the moment. So I'm on that journey with people. I'm just opening up the doors to a new program, which is really focused on, grounding your legacy work in your own human design. So how you get in touch with your highest potential blueprint, and when you come into alignment with that, you're able to leave this legacy and this trace in the present moment as well as for the future. So it's a real blessing. It's a pleasure. I'm absolutely pinching myself all the time that I get to be in this life doing this work. And yeah, I'm so in love with it.
So I imagine for a lot of people on the outside that like changing to energy work and crystal healing and human design like looked like a real left turn. So what was the transition for you like, and then what has stayed the same underneath all of it? Are there still things that you're still doing and people you're reaching out to?
Yeah, it's such a lovely question, and it was really, it was definitely a journey of slowly figuring out, okay, where and how do I feel safe enough to start expressing this new dimension of myself? And I remember, trying quite hard to kind of compartmentalize things and, setting up lots of new different accounts and things, and knowing that I wasn't going to talk about it in certain places. And so I kind of kept myself bounded in some ways. But the thing that was really surprising was that the more I just owned it and the more that I let it come through me as a frequency, the more people just would respond to me differently before I even said anything about what I was doing. You know, when people start to comment that you seem different or you look different or what are you doing now or whatever, that and even, you know, with my family, like bringing them on a journey which was very unexpected for them, happened because of just embodying what I see as the higher truth of engaging in that kind of work. So it was a combination of like being a bit strategic, building up courage, but then living it and letting it sort of speak for itself as well.
Yeah, I have a very similar story like there, but there's a part of me that wanted to hide that part of me.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't feel safe. I came from the library world and like some of us are very, there was a lot of people who were into astrology, but there was also this like very, that's weird sense. And so I was like, do I tell people? And I remember walking into a meeting one time and they were like, I don't know what's going on. I was like, well, let me tell you about all the planets that are in retrograde right now. And they were just like, okay. So did you feel like you had to have this sort of, I don't want to say a reckoning, but this shift happen in you? Like, what was this embracing who you were like and moving out of tech into this new Charlotte?
Well, it was amazing. It was just so amazing. I think I've always had a kind of rebellious spirit, you know, and it's expressed itself in all different ways throughout my life since I was a kid, whether it was art or, you know, feminist internet or now, you know, moving into all this work with the human design and the gene keys and crystal healing and stuff. And even though it was scary and I did keep myself in that ghost mode, there was also just a part of me that was like, I've got to just be brave at some point and let go of the fear of other people's opinions. Because at the end of the day, the work itself is more important than that. And am I, you know, feeling the fear? It's like, well, okay, but am I going to really let that stop me? And it was so interesting because, you know, when I started, it almost started to become like a little game of like, where can I drop this? Like, where can I drop it and see what happens? And with less attachment to the outcome, less fear of rejection, for example, you know, it got easier and easier over time. And I'm still working on, you know, the public facing side of that. Like, even right now, like, literally working on, okay, what is the rebirth of LinkedIn, for example, where I haven't really even kind of come out as this spiritual person. But I'm really excited to do that now. And I really have let go of what it might mean if I experience judgment, because it just means that those people aren't on the path, and that's okay. Everybody's on their own trajectory. And I really believe that the ones that are meant to come with you, come with you.
Oh yeah. So totally. I totally feel that. So recently I know you did a workshop on helping people find their voice, and I love that. That workshop actually inspired the article that you were part of about women, midlife women and finding their voice and their experiences of trusting their voice. So where does this come from for you personally?
Yeah, I mean, oh gosh, Erica, it's so interesting because I've been really diving deep into the gene keys and on this Sages retreat right now with Richard Rudd, and we're in the purpose sphere. And what I realized was that my purpose gene key has the fifth line. And in the context of the purpose, the fifth line carries the frequency and voice. line. Like, that's actually the quality of my purpose, which I did not know until about 3 weeks ago, maybe less. So, 5 years ago, the first transformational coach I ever had, I kept saying to her, I really don't know what this means, but I think there's something about my voice that I'm supposed to do in my life. And it's somehow part of my vocation or where I'm going. But I really don't know. And I started experimenting with, guided meditations and created a YouTube channel. And a lot of the reactions I had on YouTube were all to do with my voice. And so when I came to realize that literally built into my genetic makeup is purpose gets expressed through frequency and voice, I just felt a moment again of like coming home to some true reality. So it's built into who I am and what I'm here to do. But also, I've always known that creative expression is such a core part of, for me, what it means to be alive, what it means to experience the full range of life. Whether that be through, visual art, or whether it be through song, or whether it be through just making an object, or whether it's through writing or whatever. So I really feel that my own journey has been one of how to express myself and how to feel that my actual stability comes through expression and voice and sharing, not words only, but frequency, because voice is so completely entangled, isn't it, with energy and frequency. It's basically the sound of your energy. So I feel for me, voice is just an absolutely magical instrument of consciousness that we can use in such powerful ways that carries a lot of responsibility, but also a lot of liberation and opportunity to impact humanity. So that's where it's cut. I think, philosophically, like, that's where it's coming from for me.
Oh my gosh, I just got chills when you were talking
Me
about the
too.
fifth line because my profile is a 5-1 and I'm like, wait, what? Like, I didn't know that about it. And I've had a very tumultuous relationship with my voice. And it's been, I have to say, Julie, who is our mentor, like, she has helped me feel more confident in my voice and like learning that I had an undefined throat center and I have one gate in there and it's all about sharing new experiences and sharing my experience. And her podcast, or no, she did a class on voice and I learned that and I was like, oh, I can share my voice. And so that's what prompted me to start my podcast. And I thought, I actually have something to share. I'm not just somebody who's trying to find people. So, oh, wow, Charlotte, that's
I
just
love it.
amazing.
Yeah. And how did that realization shift your work? I mean, you actually started the podcast, and what else? Like, 'cause I love to hear when someone's throat opens, it's like everything changes.
So, as a teenager, I was always like, I wanted to express myself through my clothes and my hair and the music I listened to. I was into like The Cure and Depeche Mode and like those bands in the late 80s, early 90s, and all the alternative music. And then, like, but I didn't feel like I could really be myself. I always felt talked over as a kid. And even as an adult, I always felt like I've been talked over. And so learning about my undefined throat was really powerful that I could, like, there's a reason that I don't speak the exact same way to certain people. And also, like, why I don't always feel like I have the right words at the right time. And that I used to talk just to talk. And my mom, I remember being on a trip with my mom, and she's like, do you ever stop talking? And I was like, I needed to fill the space. And learning that I had an undefined throat center was that was the shadow side, is like talking to fill the space. And so now I've stepped back, but I've noticed, but since I started the podcast, the inspiration comes, like I will be listening to somebody else's podcast and then I'll just be like recording on voice memos in the car because something, the inspiration downloads and it's like, this needs to be out in the world and I need to share my experience because if I have this experience, I know I am not alone. And I have had such an amazing response on Substack. People are like, thank you for telling your story. Oh, I feel that so much, or I've had this experience. And I'm like, oh, I'm connecting with people. So it's been a really amazing experience. And it's learning to trust my voice and that I have something important to say was like the biggest shift for me.
It's massive, isn't it? And I love what human design shows you about, gives you permission to do so much and say so much. Like for me, mine's divine. My throat center is divine. I have like multiple activations in there. And I was like, oh, this is why I have lots of different ways of expressing myself. Like I can have a very kind of spontaneous, natural way of speaking, or sometimes there is a more of a storytelling component, or sometimes it's more logical. And even though I'm defined, so I have a more kind of like consistent way of speaking, because of all these different archetypal voices in the throat, it made sense of so much about why I need different modalities and different ways to express my voice in different spaces and for different reasons and for different purposes. And it's almost like different voices for different tools for different jobs, So I think it's always very validating to look at what's in your chart, making sense of the past, but also then unlocking potential for the future as well.
Yeah, definitely. So when you help connect someone connect with their voice, what does that look like in practice?
Yeah, so the master class that we just did was really focusing on, okay, what are those 11 archetypal voices in the throat center? Which ones do you have? Which ones are, is your throat center defined or undefined, as you've just been saying? And what are the line qualities that come with the activations that you do and don't have? And just even that part, giving people so much recognition and so much insight into the way that they're actually designed to speak, which also then means how they're designed to attract prosperity. Like, I love looking at the relationship between the voice and prosperity because they're so interconnected. And it's this idea that when you are in a kind of coherent voice mode, that it's literally like you come into focus. Like, you could just think of yourself, think of a blurred image of you, and then think of that image becoming very sharp. And that's the difference. Like when you're out of alignment, when your throat center's off, you're blurred. And then when it's really aligned, you come into focus, and then people can see you and they can like read your aura. And so that's that's something really, really powerful to explore energetically. But then also, we looked at a lot of things like, for me, there's this kind of idea that your voice actually starts with receiving, that it's a receiving center as well as a manifestation center in your chart and your body graph. And so actually the foundations of this work is like about silence and listening and becoming receptive, because when you're more receptive, when you're in that listening state, when you're not constantly feeding, yourself with information, then you start to be able to hear yourself internally. You can actually hear your own voice clearing up the signal, getting more of that intuitive hit, creativity massively unlocking when you just take that time and space to hear yourself. Even like hearing the own your own internal body systems, like listening to your own cells, it's at that level, I think, where we can go to start receiving. And then as we like clear out that channel, get more signal in, then we can start the process of speaking. And then that speaking turns into manifestation, where reality starts to organize around the clear signal. It's like I said, your voice becomes like a bat signal, to your people when it becomes coherent.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I that was one of the first things I noticed about you was your voice. Like I was listening to a coaching call while I was doing something else and I didn't have the I didn't I was I think I was eating breakfast, but I didn't have the I wasn't looking at the screen and I remember hearing your voice and I was like, "Who is that? Who is that?" And then I heard you talking about prosperity and I was like, your voice and prosperity. I just, it didn't. I love the way you're talking about it because I couldn't quite put the two together, but it makes so much sense to hear you talk about it.
It's
So
magical.
I know you work with a lot of women, and I love this. I'm not sure if you're still doing a lot of leadership women, but I know that there's this side of us. You talked about that ghosted side. But there's this side of us that's, we have the crystals on the nightstand, we have the oracle cards, you know, we might do a meditation practice, and if it all happens behind closed doors, because it doesn't feel safe to be, you know, in the professional world. Is that what you're seeing with women that you work with, and what does it cost them to feel like they have to be two separate things?
I love this question so much, and yes, I see it all the time. And in fact, the whole idea of this archetype of the CEO with the singing bowl came from observing this split, like a feeling that by day you're, a professional, a professional leader in that kind of context, but by night you're at the shamanic drumming session, or you're a medicine woman, you're doing your Reiki, you're working with crystals, whatever it is you're doing, and that compartmentalization being so exhausting, and actually so many people wanting to let their gifts bubble up and be expressed more fully into the world. And so how can we start to integrate? And it's so interesting because I think often it can feel like, and I think this is what I did, was like, okay, I just literally have to completely separate these things because they're so disconnected. But what I found as I've been moving along this path for a good few years now is that actually in the end there is a golden thread that runs through it. There are commonalities that are to do with the deeper trajectory that your soul has come here to experience. And that's like a lot of the time we don't actually have to throw everything away. I mean, maybe in some cases you do want to do that. But I think that weaving together your more, I don't know how you want to call it, like your more strategic side with your spiritual side isn't impossible. And actually, the more that we can start dissolving the binary thinking around it, is the easier it becomes to, talk about them in interconnected ways. Obviously, there's going to be some communities and some environments where it's just not appropriate and people aren't ready, and you know that, and that's fine. But don't you think more and more we are aligning with people who are so much more open, so much more willing? I think, to be honest, I think we do ourselves a bit of a disservice by staying in the thinking that these things are very separate. And like, oh,
Oh, yeah.
it's not safe to sit here. It's not, because, there are more than enough people that are open and ready. And the time is now, like, because in a few years' time, this is just going to be like bog standard. Yeah, everyone's doing it. I mean, what? You do human design? I mean, So I think, the more we can be with each other and the more we can find those kindred spirits and the more we can ride this collective wave of the new era, is the more we're going to feel stable and safe to start bringing this in. I mean, people in, if you think about even the tech industry, like I always remember reading about, like, people like Steve Jobs having these like shamanic advisors and stuff like that. It's like, is it really so separate? Don't people at the highest levels really want to actually connect with all forms of wisdom? Are they really so closed? So I find that quite intriguing, actually.
Yeah, I do too because I would love to like walk into a, you know, see pictures of a boardroom with like this giant crystal in the middle. Like that would
Let's
just be
go.
amazing.
Yeah.
But and I think that, you know, that there is some of that I think that even for say Steve Jobs, he probably had, there was that he was keeping it separate too. And it, I really hope, I really look forward to the day. I shouldn't say I hope, because I know it's going to happen. I look forward to the day when it's like no longer separate. We're more, as we move into the new era that we, you know, have been so immersed in with Julie, that like there is going to be a sense of, you know, we maybe they don't meditate at the beginning of a session of a meeting, but that is more accepted, but it's also just part of who the existence of the company, and that it's not this masculine bro side and this like oh woo feminine side, like that there's a
Yeah.
more beautiful marriage of it. And you know, I have Heather Wick, who was on my podcast a
Yeah.
couple months ago, did does energy work on businesses, and I'm sure that like if they the businesses that bring that energy in and bring those crystals in and bring the energy into it, not just the energy work that she does, but like bring the energy of the feminine and the masculine in, I'm sure that it changes, it completely shifts the businesses and it shifts the leadership. So how do you help someone start to close that gap, not necessarily bringing like that giant crystal into the boardroom, but finding a way to help them be who they actually are and lead and show up, and then also not feel like they have to hide themselves?
Yeah. Well, I have found that, studying your design, helping people get into that inquiry is very, very powerful in and of itself. Just by dint of it, aligning somebody with this different way of seeing themselves and seeing their potential and seeing that there is a gift in every shadow, right? Like that is such an incredible paradigm for a person to live inside of. And I find that when we start to explore some of the things that might have been holding somebody back from fully expressing themselves through their human design, it's almost like just by looking at it, it starts to dissolve. And just by feeling what it means to be aligned with your purpose, not as a thing that you do, but as a way that you are, then there's some kind of relaxing at the deepest cellular level where you can start to do more of that embodiment that we talked about at the beginning. When we were both like had that experience of, well, if I just live this, there's some kind of cosmic osmosis thing that happens and people start, relating to me differently. And I noticed that with my clients, that it only takes quite a light exploration of a bit of human design for the way that they start experiencing other people and other people start experiencing them to change.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about like people ask me if I got a new haircut, like if I got my haircut, and I'm like, no, but they just could see it. They could
Yeah.
just feel that shift. So how do you introduce human design to people?
Yeah. Yeah, so we bring it in as a lens really for the coaching. And so I run their chart and we really use I call myself like a radical reframer. Just keep going with using the chart as this very intuitive kind of portal into self-reflection. So, we know that it's going to be like the axis of our journey together, if we're one-to-one, if we're group or whatever. And it's there as this map. And each session, we know that there's going to be some thread that we get to pull out of the body graph or out of a gene key or out of some energetic, knot that's there. And it can be quite serendipitous, I think. Like maybe we're tuning into the global, you know, the global pulse of the energy, or maybe it's an issue that's come up and we're like, okay, well, it's almost like you know, the chart is like a Google search space. You know what I mean? Like, oh, well, let's see what's going on. What can we find in the chart that can reveal some deeper truth about this thing? And inevitably, the synchronicities happen and the realizations come. And it's just an incredibly potent tool I have found to unlock potential and just, to be honest, bring yourself fully alive. Do you know what I mean? To just actually activate your cells and feel like, wow. I mean, when I first, it's like with the crystal healing, when I first went into that space, my teacher, Kelly Pesey, incredible woman, I'd spent, I don't know how many years in academia, like 15 years in academia learning, and I liked art, you know what I mean? I elected to do that. But when I was in her presence, learning about the chakras and auras and crystals and stuff, I was so riveted. I felt like I was reading for the first time. I felt like I was learning for the first time. I was like 38 or 40 or something. And I was like, oh, right. So that's what it means to actually really, really genuinely like have thirst for learning for real.
Yes. Oh, yes. I know that feeling so well. Like when I was learning human design for the first time from my first teacher, Erin Claire Jones, and I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, how do we all not know about this? Like, it was like reading or just listening to, I was listening to her, and I was like, this is like the code to humanity. How do we not know about this? How have people not been telling us about this? Like, why do I feel like I have the secret to life in my hands? And also, like, when I was reading about mine, is how has this system been reading my personal life journal and it doesn't even know about me? Like, how is it telling me my own life story and all of the struggles I have had through my entire life? How does this system know this? And like the first time I started to sit with people, like there's this look, and I'm sure you know this look, where they're like, how do you know that about me? Like, I will remember, I'll never forget my friend when I did a reading with her, and she said, Erica, I'm very uncomfortable with how much you know about me. And I was like, I am just telling you what I am seeing in the chart. And do you have this experience where you're working with a client and you have their chart pulled up and they're telling you something and you're like, I know exactly why that's happening. Like, I can see it. But you can't say, I know this. I can see this in your chart. And, you know, you have to sort of pull back a little bit and be like, I will share this when they are ready. And I will also tell them, you know, after the fact that like that I can see this coming up in your chart. I can see this. And then how is this playing out for you? Like, but it's still, yeah, when you were, I felt that so deeply when I was learning, and I'm very intrigued by like more things. The deeper I get into human design and like the gene keys, the more I'm like, how? I feel like we should be sharing this with everybody, but I don't feel like everybody is ready for it.
I agree. I feel like it's sheer pleasure. It's just actually pleasure and magic and fun. And that's the thing about, I felt like my life went from a kind of fuzzy, muted palette into like full spectrum, vivid HD. Spiritual awakening to me was literally like colors becoming brighter in life, and seeing like things actually to be an adult. And to believe in magic, like that is what it feels like. And to start to come into a way of living that embraces a lot of synchronicity. I mean, I remember one sort of phase in my crystal healing training, and we were really looking at like angel frequencies, and I was really obsessed with noticing synchronicities, and I felt like, the white feather was my little sign for some reason. That was, reticular activation system had kicked in, latched onto feathers, right? And they just literally would like appear physically around me, inside my house. Or one was just sitting on a book that had been posted through the door. Or one time I was meditating and in a yoga retreat, and I was on the yoga mat and I was meditating, and I opened my eyes and there's this feather in front of me. And it was, I feel like what an amazing experience to have in life, where you get to have magic.
Yeah, I feel like as I've started to embrace this magical side of me, like there is so much opening up. And when I say I need a sign, like the one day that I was just like, I'm really struggling and I need a sign, a blue heron flew over again. The blue heron is my spirit animal, and it just, I was driving and it just flew over, and I was with my husband. I was like, there's my sign. That's my sign. And he knows it. He knows that the blue heron is what comes when I need it most. And my business has the energy of a moose. And so like the moose will suddenly appear at certain places. And I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. Like I was watching TV and there was a moose on the TV. And I was like, okay, keep going, Erica. Keep going.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, to have a direct line to source like that, it's gold, isn't it? And like, talk about bringing spirit and strategy together, because we're in this path of creating businesses, and it's really not easy. You really have to have a lot of grit to stay. But I don't know about you, but those moments of synchronicity, or those moments of feeling connected, or that you are guided, that you are supported, that you are somehow part of an interconnected web of consciousness that is actually for you, is very supportive in those moments where it's like, God, the email sequence,
Yes. And but do you feel when you like with a feather, isn't there just like this calm that comes over you, like, oh yes, okay, thank you for the reminder, universe.
And also, I think especially with the Gene Keys work at the moment, which is focusing on purpose as so not about what you do, but being. It's just a radical way of putting things into perspective. So even though my focus is on having as big of an impact as I can, I'm a 3-5, so my body wants to make a big impact in the world, right? Really want to make an impact, desperately want to make it, but I'm learning, oh, I just get to have this like trace of glitter that follows me around, and nobody might ever know what I did, but somehow God knew, and the glitter trail was there, and like maybe it fell on a flower in a field once. And that, so kind of liberating myself from the idea of what legacy is, what impact is, what productivity is, and kind of coming into a different level of communion with that. I feel like it's not always easy to let go of wanting to be very productive and, do all of that stuff, but somehow it's connected to a deeper truth, and that relaxes the spirit and the soul into what you're doing. That's what I've found for myself.
And so in your work, you've talked about legacy and the rewriting the power and the prosperity and the legacy work. So what does it mean for you when you say it to a client, this legacy, the rewiring, the prosperity, and bringing all of this in, the magic and the gene keys and the purpose in? What does it mean to you when you say it to a client?
Yeah, so to me, it means if I think about it visually, it's almost like just sitting back into an armchair instead of kind of leaning forward into life. So when we can hold the idea of legacy as this kind of present moment energetic trace, and the idea of legacy as things that you produce and like maybe leave, gift to the world, I feel like having that kind of dual perspective on time really helps us to see like legacy is, it's now, it's right now in our frequency and our aura. We're leaving something, but now. And then also, you might think more conventionally about legacy work as like your book or your business or your, masterpiece or whatever. But I love to hold both those ways of seeing legacy for somebody so that they can relax into what they're making and understand that, like, maybe the deepest purpose of all is to inhabit our highest frequency and let that be a kind of ever-present legacy.
Yeah. I always think about, like, you don't know what impact you are having on other people. I had a client panel on my last masterclass, and I had no idea what impact I had had. And just hearing them, like, when I'm having a bad day, I'll go listen to it. But even the smallest things, like there was a woman who t said to me one time, she said, "Oh, you did this for me." And I didn't, it seemed so small and so mundane to me at the time when I was at the library. And I was like, "Oh, I am leaving a legacy here. It's not about doing all the hard work and like making sure that your name is written in stone on the tablets on the walls, or
Totally.
but a lot of times it's the very smallest act that changes so much for somebody. And something as simple as, like, my friend told me when I was interviewing, she said, "Erica, you don't need to be anybody else, but just be you, and that's what's going to get you hired." And like that small comment, I've told her that multiple times, and she's like, "I don't even remember saying that to you." But that small comment from her made such a huge impact on me. And I think for so many of us, especially in the coaching world, like, we want to leave that impact, but I don't think we realize that even on, a sales call, that 1 hour might have made an impact on somebody in a way that we didn't even realize.
Totally, that's so true. It's really beautiful as well because it kind of goes back to that thing of the interconnected web, doesn't it? And that we don't always have to have it nailed or planned or scripted or, packaged as some kind of teaching or something for it to be valuable. And we get to really trust in our own expression, like, again, to come back to the voice, just like letting wisdom bubble through you to sort of in a sort of silent, secret, invisible way can be, yeah, like you say, way more powerful than you realize.
So I have a question for you that's going back to the voice. Do you do voice, like, are there things that you do with the voice with your clients? I know you did an activation. Like, are there things that you do related to the voice that aren't necessarily, I guess what I want to ask is, like, how are you marrying it with human design? So are there certain activations that are in their chart that you also do with them on their voice, maybe the humming or something like that?
And again, like, this is another thing that really made me giggle when I read about the fifth line in my purpose, because it was like, yes, you feel most stable when you do chanting or like recite mantras, and I was like, oh yeah, no, that's actually definitely true, because I really feel like for me, really, apart from sort of like physically moving, the thing that I find the most stabilizing and the most kind of clearing for the energy field is sound. So I absolutely love to chant om. I'm not very good at it yet, but I learned how to do overtone singing, which is where you kind of sing two notes at once. And I use it to cleanse my crystals. And that was very transformative because it's in a very tangible physical way made me understand frequency inside my own body because you can't, it's like a second note happens, but you don't control the second note and it creates this harmonic. And so that, even though I'm not very good at it yet, I can catch the overtone and it drops me right into connection with source. And I've always, my favorite method for clearing crystals has always been sound. So I like to do that for myself. I really love to tone the chakras. I do that with my clients. And I actually like to, feel or help people feel that physical vibration and the tone. It's like a really deep, earthly way to experience yourself as physical. So yeah, I absolutely love doing that.
Oh my gosh, I love this. So, what is something that you wish that so you came from academia, you've into activism and you're building this business of spirit and strategy, but also the voice and prosperity. So, what is something that you wish someone had told you about building your business that because it doesn't fit this like very perfect mold, what is something that you wish somebody had told you?
I was listening to Julie today on the Daily Frequency, and she was saying about the easy button. There's no easy button. And I really like that because I like letting go of the idea that hard work is bad manifesting. And in a way, there's nothing I wish someone had told me because I have this really strange feeling. Like when you're asking me that question, I'm like, oh, nothing, because I feel like everything's been so on. Right word, like it's just been perfect how it's been, even though there's been so many mistakes. I mean, I'm 3'5", so I have to try everything out a million times and everything. The if I was going to do something differently, I think it would be that when my first strategy in business was to build an audience on YouTube, which was another, journey into expression and visibility and voice. And that journey was, quite transformative in itself. I had this experience of like my channel going viral, like very much overnight from like 300 to 8,000 or something. And it was quite a wild experience of just, I did this like particular kind of meditation and it just had this huge explosive reaction and it was incredibly overwhelming. And I wasn't really ready for what would kind of come my way as a result of that. So I think if I was doing it again, I think I would be a little bit more strategic with visibility for a purpose rather than just visibility for its own sake, because also what I was learning was like you need to become visible, you need to build an audience, and so on and so forth. So I did that, but there wasn't really anywhere for that audience to go or really to really do. And so it wasn't as kind of like strategic as it could have been. But on the other hand, that was just part of my journey, and I needed to make those 105 YouTube videos to find who I was and express myself and learn to be okay on camera and all of that stuff. And so I don't sort of regret it, but I might not take that exact path again, if you know what I mean.
And for everyone, I know Charlotte is a projector. So are there things that have come up for you with other when you are working with other women or your clients? Are there things that you're just like, I really wish that they could see this gap? Or how do you balance being a projector and working with other with your clients?
Well, it's really funny, Erica, because doing this new group program for the first time, and every single person is a generator or a manifesting generator, and I'm the projector. And I was like, oh, it's so perfect. It's just so on. No, I think it's very interesting, isn't it, with energy types and how they kind of interplay with the rest of the charts and everything. And I think the thing that I recognize the most in myself about being a projector is just that kind of like concentrated output. So like really being very efficient and doing stuff, but for a short period of time, and then there's nothing left in the tank. So kind of needing to negotiate that in the way that I manage my time and my energy and stuff like that, I think that's been really, really key.
Well, Charlotte, it's been so wonderful to talk to you. I have one last question that I ask everyone. So,
Okay.
what is one unwritten rule of midlife that you would like to rewrite?
The unwritten rule of midlife I would like to rewrite is that it's not the middle. It's not the middle. It's just the beginning. Like what where's that concept of mid come from anyway? Like I think you were talking about bending time. And so I'd like to throw out the timeline that we've been handed and scramble it and make our relationship to time different. So we feel like every day has the potential to be the best day of your life, and it's the beginning, and we're not redundant because of some kind of chronological progression of linear time. We are quantum beings and we get to begin from now.
Oh, I heard not too long ago, I heard a podcast episode about like the time is not linear, that it's like there, it's sort of a, it looks very much like a DNA helix. And I was like, oh, that is so cool. Like time is fast here and time is slow here. And that like it's weaving and the you of past and present. It was kind of mind-blowing for me, and I was like, I kind of couldn't understand it, but I also have experienced it. Like, how did a 5-year goal happen in 9 months? Like, I don't know. And people have been asking me, and I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I did. I just
Amazing.
showed up and like embodied things. So, Charlotte, tell everyone where they can find you and what do you have going on that you want to share.
I would love people to come and join me on Substack. That is where I'm going all in from now. So all my writing, all my audios, membership, that's going to be on Substack. So if you would like to follow me there, that will be absolutely amazing. And I can't wait to keep building in this space, which feels like such a like massive shift, doesn't it, to be in this environment with lots of kindred spirits in a way that feels really, different to the other platforms that we've been on.
Well, Charlotte, thank you for joining us. It was so great to speak to you.
Thank
And
you so much.
everyone, we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
If this episode resonated with you, I would be so grateful if you would click the plus sign to subscribe and share it with a friend. You can find more articles and conversations on my Substack. The link is in the show notes. I'd love to see you there. Thanks for joining me today. Be well.